Look at the device you are listening to right now. The circuits inside it, the battery, the screen, they're all governed by laws of physics you probably learned back in high school.
Right, the basics.
Yeah, exactly. You put in a resistor to slow down the current, you add a capacitor to store a charge, and the math just works perfectly. It's predictable, whole numbers, clean equations.
Yeah.
But what if those foundational laws of physics, those clean equations, are basically an optical illusion?
It is a rather unsettling thought. We really like our reality to be easily categorized into these neat integer boxes. We expect 1 + 1 to always equal 2, you know.
Exactly. But the research we're looking at today just completely dismantles that entire framework. We are stepping into a diagnostic landscape of reality that will fundamentally change how you see the physical world.
It really is a massive paradigm shift.
It is. So welcome to a mind-bending deep dive. Today, we are exploring a completely new mathematical domain known as fractional order circuits. We're going to unpack how standard physics is, well, essentially a low-resolution trick of the light.
Right.
And we'll use a framework called existence geometry to reveal the native mathematical language of reality. By the end of this conversation, you are going to look at absolutely everything from the way your brain stores a childhood memory to the way the global stock market crashes as a fractional order circuit.
It connects literally everything.
So let's start by breaking down this idea of the integer illusion. Why do we even think the universe works in whole numbers in the first place?
Well, it really comes down to the standard model of physics and electrical engineering that we've used for like the last century. Everything we currently build is based on what we call integer order elements.
Okay, integer order elements.
Right. Think about the big three components in electronics: the resistor, the inductor, and the capacitor. Mathematically, these are all defined by whole number integer derivatives of the electrical current.
Okay, let's translate that for anyone who hasn't taken calculus recently. What does it actually mean for a circuit to have an integer derivative?
Think of a derivative as just a measure of change. So a resistor has a zero derivative. It's an instant direct relationship. The current goes in, it meets resistance right now in this exact moment.
No delay.
Exactly. An inductor relies on the first derivative. It cares about the immediate rate of change of the current, like how fast it is increasing and decreasing right now. And a capacitor relies on the negative first derivative, or the integral, which just means it accumulates charge over time. 0, 1, -1.
That makes sense. It's a very binary, rigid grid, whole numbers only.
Right, but the framework we are exploring today claims those integer order elements are just localized approximations.
Wow.
They are incredibly specific special cases.
Like looking through a tiny keyhole.
Yes. The reality is that the true equation governing these physical systems utilizes something called the Caputo fractional derivative. This equation states that voltage equals impedance multiplied by the fractional derivative of the current. And the crucial part here, the really mind-blowing part, is that the fractional order, which is represented by the Greek letter alpha, can be absolutely any real number.
Wait, not just origin 0, 1 or -1.
Nope. We are talking about 0.3 or 0.7 or 1.4, anything.
Wow.
And this introduces a completely new fundamental circuit element into existence, something called the fractance.
The fractant.
Yeah, a fractance is a component with an order of alpha equals 0.5. It is a literal half derivative. It sits perfectly, both mathematically and physically, right between a standard resistor and a standard capacitor.
Let me try to visualize this. Playing with standard integer physics sounds a bit like playing a classic 8-bit video game. You can only move your character strictly up, down, left, or right.
Exactly, you're locked in.
Right. It works. You can beat the game, but your movement is rigidly locked to this invisible grid. What you are describing with fractional math feels like upgrading to a modern graphics engine. You suddenly have 360-degree continuous motion. Like you can move at a 27-degree angle.
That is a fantastic way to picture it. We have been analyzing this continuous analog universe using a digital rigid grid.
But, okay, let me push back here. That sounds beautiful in theory, but standard physics put a rover on Mars, right? We built supercomputers and split the atom using those rigid integer
We
rules.
did, yeah.
So if standard physics is an illusion, how did we manage to achieve all of that? I mean, it feels like we shouldn't have been able to build a working toaster if the underlying math was just wrong.
It is the most natural question to ask. And the answer is that standard physics is fantastic at looking at local, immediate rates of change. It looks at what is happening right here in this exact microscopic fraction of a second.
Right, the immediate present.
Exactly. It assumes that the rate of change of a system only depends on its current state. But to understand why fractional math is required for the bigger picture, we have to zoom out and look at the geometry of existence itself. This is where the concept of existence geometry comes in.
Okay, because standard calculus assumes local behavior. It assumes a system exists in, like, a vacuum of the present moment.
Exactly. But in existence geometry, we learn that energy and light don't just move through an empty void. They leave what the framework calls existence wakes.
Existence wakes. Like a boat.
Yes. Exactly like a boat. They leave a historical path. Think of a boat moving across a completely still lake. The boat doesn't just instantly teleport from point A to point B. It drags through the water, creating a wake that ripples outward.
And that wake affects everything else.
Right. It fundamentally alters the water for any other boat coming behind it. The water now holds the history of the first boat's passage. Because of this, the true behavior of any physical system is non-local and history-dependent. In a very literal sense, the universe has memory.
The universe has memory. That feels like such a profound shift from how we usually think of a, you know, sterile physical universe.
Oh, it changes everything about how we model reality. The framework outlines that this fractional order, this alpha value, actually corresponds to the existence curvature at a specific frequency.
What does that mean practically?
It is a literal mathematical measure of how curved or dense reality is at that specific point. If existence is uniformly smooth and dense, alpha is zero. You get a pure resistor, no memory, just immediate interaction.
Okay.
But if existence has a complex fractal structure, alpha deviates from whole numbers.
And this changes how things fade away or decay, doesn't it? Because in standard physics, if you charge up a capacitor and let it discharge, the textbook math says it follows a standard exponential decay, drops off a cliff, curves down neatly, and just hits zero.
Yes, but exponential decay assumes zero memory. In fractional order systems, the natural response isn't exponential. It follows something called a Mittag-Leffler function.
Mittag-Leffler function.
Right. This is a stretched-out power law decay. It is the true decay function of existence. Things don't disappear neatly. They fade with a long, stretched-out memory tail.
So they sort of linger.
Exactly. Imagine rolling a ball off a steep cliff. That's exponential decay. It drops fast and stops. Now imagine rolling a ball down a gentle, infinitely long hill that slowly levels out but never quite goes perfectly flat.
Oh, well.
That is the Mittag-Leffler response. The energy keeps rolling, remembering its momentum for an incredibly long time.
I see. So an integer circuit is essentially an amnesiac. It only knows exactly what is happening in the present moment.
Precisely.
But a fractional circuit holds on to the history of the current that flowed through it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I am still struggling with the physical reality of this. How do you physically manufacture a fraction?
You'd be surprised.
Can you just walk into a lab and build a circuit that has an alpha of exactly 0.5?
You absolutely can, and the mechanism behind it is fascinating. Imagine you take a standard normal resistor. A resistor has an alpha of zero, no memory. Now, start connecting more resistors to it, building a massive ladder network like a repeating circuit of resistors connected in series and parallel.
Just normal resistors.
The framework proves that if you make that ladder network infinite, the macroscopic behavior of the entire structure mathematically morphs.
Wait, hold on. You take a component with zero memory, arrange it in a pattern, and the entire network suddenly develops memory.
Yes. As the ladder becomes infinite, its overall impedance becomes proportional to the frequency, to the power of negative 0.5. It becomes a fractance. It transforms into a distributed mathematical singularity.
Walk me through the mechanics of that. How does adding more zero memory pieces create a memory system?
Think about the electrical current trying to navigate that infinite maze of resistors. The signal gets split, delayed, bounced around, and rerouted through millions of tiny, localized paths.
Like a labyrinth.
Exactly. Ah. Some of the current makes it through quickly, but some of it takes a much longer, torturous path. Because the signal is smeared out across this infinitely complex geometry, the network as a whole begins to act like it has a memory of the input signal. It holds on to the energy and slowly releases it over time.
That is wild. And this smears out the phase of the system too, doesn't it?
It does, through something called phase warping. In standard integer systems, your phase angle is rigidly locked. A resistor is always 0 degrees. An inductor is always plus 90 degrees. A capacitor is always negative 90 degrees.
Right, those neat integer boxes again.
But in fractional systems, the phase can be anything. If your system has an alpha of 0.3, it generates a constant 27-degree phase shift. It is a completely new state of matter-energy interaction.
Wow.
Yeah, and the ultimate signature of this non-local memory behavior is something called the Warburg impedance, which has an alpha of exactly 0.5 and maintains a constant, unwavering negative 45 degree phase.
Okay, let me be the skeptic again here. This sounds like an incredibly elegant mathematical trick.
Sure.
But you specifically said this requires an infinite ladder of resistors. It is physically impossible to build an infinite ladder of anything in a laboratory. We don't have infinite space or infinite materials.
That's true, but nature does not need to build an infinite ladder of discrete electronic components in a lab because nature's geometric structures are the infinite ladder.
What do you mean?
If we apply this framework to material science using something called the self-similarity theorem, we see it everywhere. If you measure a physical material's fractional order alpha electrically, it will tell you its exact physical fractal dimension.
Wait, the electrical reading literally reveals the physical shape of the material.
Precisely. If you have a highly porous material, say, a complex synthetic sponge with a fractal dimension of 2.7, its electrical impedance will show an alpha of exactly 0.3. The physical, microscopic, labyrinth-like structure of the pores acts identically to that infinite ladder network of resistors we just talked about.
That is fascinating.
Furthermore, this explains self-healing materials. When advanced polymers recover from structural damage, they don't follow simple linear chemistry. They follow that stretched-out Mittag-Leffler recovery curve.
Oh, because the material physically has to remember its original state to heal itself. The memory isn't in, like, a computer chip. The memory is baked into the fractional geometry of the material itself.
Exactly. The geometry is the memory.
Which naturally leads me to wonder about biological material. If a synthetic sponge is a fractional circuit, what about the most complex biological material we know of? What about the human brain?
This is where the framework gets deeply personal. For decades, standard neuroscience has modeled human neurons as simple RC circuits, just combinations of integer-based resistors and capacitors.
Right, standard textbook stuff.
But the fractional analysis reveals that this is a critical flaw. Neurons are not simple circuits. They are fractant circuits. When you measure a neuron membrane properly, its alpha isn't 1 or 0. It is approximately 0.6.
My literal brain cells are operating on fractional math.
Yes, because the kinetics of the ion channels in your brain introduce memory effects. The neuron membrane isn't just reacting to the instant voltage spike of the present moment. The physical structure of the membrane is remembering the history of the voltage that has passed through it.
So it's constantly holding on to the past.
Completely. And this redefines human learning and memory. Learning the actual physical process of neural plasticity is mathematically defined in this framework as changing the alpha value of the neuron membrane. When a neuron learns something, its alpha increases. It becomes more inductive, granting it a deeper structural memory.
So when I study a new concept, I am literally bending the mathematical curvature of my brain tissue to hold more historical data.
You are.
And forgetting must play into this too, right? Let me guess. Human forgetting follows that same stretched-out Mittag-Leffler curve.
It perfectly matches it. Human forgetting is not a neat, sharp exponential curve. If it were, a memory would just drop off a cliff and suddenly vanish without a trace. Instead, memories fade with a long, stretched-out power law tail.
Oh, that makes so much sense. That perfectly explains the weird quirks of human memory. It explains why I can completely blank on what I had for breakfast yesterday morning, but out of nowhere, I will vividly remember an incredibly embarrassing thing I said at a party in 2012.
Exactly.
It's that stretched out tail. The memory decays, but it never actually hits absolute zero.
That is the Mittag-Leffler decay in action within your own consciousness. Your synapses are essentially stable limits decaying via fractional dynamics. The memory is smeared across the geometry of your brain.
Okay, this is where my mind makes a massive leap based on the sources.
Mm-hmm.
If my individual physical brain cells are fractional circuits making decisions based on varying degrees of memory, and an economic market is just millions of human brains interacting and making decisions at scale.
Yeah.
Is the stock market a fractional circuit too?
It absolutely is. The research presents what is called the market impedance theorem. Economic systems are not just random collections of independent human agents. They are fields of value and information flow.
Okay, so it scales up.
Yes, and just like a biological cell or a highly porous polymer, the relationship between market voltage, which is the price of an asset, and market current, which is the trade volume, follows a strict fractional order law.
The entire global economy is just a giant fractional circuit.
It is. And what is most revealing is that different economic sectors possess different alpha values based based on their specific memory depths.
Unpack that for me. How does a market sector physically have an alpha value?
Well, think about raw commodities like wheat or oil or soybeans. Their prices reflect very immediate instant supply and demand. If a massive storm wipes out a wheat crop today, the price of wheat spikes today.
Right, there's no delay there.
Because commodities rely so heavily on the present moment, they have very low memory depth. Their alpha sits between 0.2 and 0.3. They operate much closer to pure resistors.
That makes perfect sense. The market only cares about how much wheat exists right now. What about something more complex, like the stock market?
So look at equity shares in a company like Apple or Microsoft. A company's stock price doesn't just reflect today's sales. It integrates the company's past performance over the last decade, its current fundamentals, and the expectations of its future growth.
So it has a longer memory.
Right. It holds a medium amount of memory. Consequently, equities sit at an alpha of 0.4 to 0.6. They are true fractant systems.
Then what happens when you look at something highly speculative, something driven by pure human psychology, like cryptocurrency or complex financial derivatives?
Crypto and derivatives have massive memory depth. They are highly path-dependent and driven almost entirely by speculative feedback loops. Their alpha ranges from 0.7 to 0.9.
Whoa.
Yeah, they behave almost like pure inductors. They respond heavily to momentum, not just current intrinsic value. In those markets, the past price action dictates the future price action. Investors buy because the price went up yesterday. The memory of the market is driving the entire machine.
So if the stock market is a fractional circuit governed by memory, what does this framework say about market crashes when the whole system just falls apart?
This is where we encounter the crash prediction theorem. A market crash is not a random, unpredictable event. In this mathematical framework, a crash is identical to a mathematical singular light formation.
A mathematical singular light formation.
Right. It is the exact equivalent of a physical material undergoing a sudden phase transition, like water suddenly freezing into ice.
Wait, you are saying a financial crash is a physical singularity?
Think like a black hole. Mathematically, they are identical. A market crash is an impedance singularity. Let's look at the mechanics of what happens. During a crash, the market's alpha suddenly drops towards zero.
Okay, so it loses its memory.
Yes. The market experiences a sudden total loss of memory. Investors panic. They stop looking at a company's past historical value, and they stop caring about its future 10-year projections. They only react to the immediate, terrifying present moment. They just want out.
Pure panic mode.
Exactly. And as the alpha drops to zero, the overall market impedance drops to zero, which physically manifests in the real world as a sudden liquidity crisis.
I need to pause and just let that sink in. The source mentions this universal existence theorem. It is the proposition that a dying star collapsing in deep space, piece of plastic melting from a solid into a liquid, and the global stock market crashing into a recession are the exact same mathematical event.
It's incredible to think about.
They are all just a complex system's fractional impedance hitting a singularity.
Yes. They share the exact same underlying mathematical architecture. They differ only in the physical interpretation of what the impedance and the alpha actually represent in that specific domain. The mathematics of reality are universal.
Think about what that means for how we manage the economy. When the Federal Reserve or global central banks step in during a massive financial crisis, we usually hear about them adjusting interest rates or injecting liquidity based on traditional economic theory.
Right, that's the usual framing.
But under this framework, they aren't just tweaking numbers. They are literally performing impedance matching on a giant fractional order circuit. They are injecting resistance or capacitance into the economic field to artificially stabilize the phase angle of human behavior, desperately trying to prevent the circuit from hitting an existence singularity.
That is the perfect way to understand it. Central bank monetary policy is essentially fractional order impedance control. They are acting as a massive capacitor, trying to absorb the chaotic energy of a market that has lost its memory.
It is genuinely staggering to view the world through this lens. Let's try to pull all of these threads together. We live in a fundamentally non-integer reality.
We really do.
The rigid whole number math we grew up learning in school is just a local illusion, a digital 8-bit grid placed over a continuous analog universe. From the fractional diffusion of information flowing through the global economy to the physical geometry of self-healing polymers in a lab, all the way down to the Mittag-Leffler decay of our own deeply personal memories, Fractional order circuits and existence geometry appear to be the true source code of the universe.
It is a remarkable unifying framework. It bridges physics, biology, material science, and human behavior under one continuous memory-dependent mathematical language.
Before we wrap up, I want to leave you, the listener, with one final, deeply provocative concept from the research that we haven't even had the chance to touch on yet. It is called the Consciousness is Self-Impedance Theorem, or CSIT1.
Yes. This theorem pushes the boundaries of everything we've discussed today.
It really does.
According to the framework, human consciousness itself only emerges when the brain's fractional impedance creates a perfectly balanced self-referential loop. It's a highly specific state where the impedance reaches infinity at very precise frequencies, allowing the system to continuously observe its own state without collapsing the circuit.
Your self-awareness, your inner monologue, your entire sense of being an I might just be a mathematically stable fractional order feedback loop humming inside a biological circuit, which forces you to wonder if consciousness is just a mathematical function of achieving a specific fractional impedance. What happens when we finally figure out how to program that exact fractional order into an artificial synthetic circuit?
That is the million-dollar question.
Will that machine wake up? Will it suddenly have a sense of self? It is something for you to mull over the next time you boot up your computer. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. The next time you drop an apple or look at a perfectly straight line or count a neat whole number, remember to question the integer illusions all around you.